I am here with Fred Zagurski of Fred Zagurski Consultants, and Fred and I are discussing how Fred got started in the security business.
Well, I started out majoring in electrical engineering in college and decided that wasn't for me, mainly the electrical part. I was more interested in electronics and wasn't really that thrilled with the method of teaching either. It seemed somewhat antiquated to me. So I talked to an Air Force recruiter, and he convinced me to enlist in the Air Force, and I could get a free degree in electronics technology. So I took him up on his offer and got my degree in electronics technology. And when I got out of the Air Force in 1970, there was a big poster in Seattle that said, "The last person leaving Seattle, please turn off the lights." So the jobs were not plentiful. It was very similar to the economy that we have today. Massive layoffs at Boeing. They had taken all the jobs in electronics. The only thing I could find related was electronic security. So I started out working for the second largest national security company at that time, working in their central station monitoring alarm systems, with the expectation I'd be going into the installation or service department, which never did, happened over a course of about 5.5 years, but I left as the operations manager of the company. I then went to work for the largest local independent alarm company in Seattle for about another 5.5 years, doing installations, service, fire inspections, sales, just about everything other than working in the central station, and got a good background in alarm systems from a field perspective with hands-on experience. Next, I was approached by an engineering company to come work for them, involving with designing closed-circuit TV systems, which I really knew nothing about at that point. But the owner of the company took me under his wing and was a good teacher of not only video systems, but of communication systems. So fiber optics, microwave, broadband, RF. And I got quite an exposure to that technology of systems. The company had some fairly large projects under their belt, including all of the camera systems along I-5 and the video surveillance system of the Alyeska pipeline from Prudhoe Bay to Valdez. I learned a lot, but did not really work on a lot of large projects. I think the biggest one was probably the Tacoma Dome. One day I get a call from a manufacturer of radar and sonar that sold primarily to the fishing trade. And they were the first company to develop the digital radar and sonar, and they found out, discovered that it was so accurate that they could actually pick up underwater frogmen, including even Navy SEAL teams. So they decided they wanted to market it to the Navy as a waterside security system. And the qualifications that they were looking for described me perfectly, but I said I was happy where I was, but they said, "Well, come talk to them anyway." So they convinced me to come work for them as a head of their new national products, defense products division. So I learned more about sonar. I'd learned about radar in the Air Force, but I learned about sonar and was soon talking to Navy officials about setting up some testing programs, which we did at Lake Union and then over in Tacoma at the Naval Base, and then finally at the Philadelphia Naval Base, doing extensive testing with with the Navy watching and observing what we're doing. The next big project was as a consultant to the Coast Guard for the 84 Summer Olympics, setting up underwater security for the Russian ship that then pulled out at the last minute. After that, I became a manufacturer's rep, representing high-tech security products and marketing primarily to the nuclear industry and prison industry. I did that for about 4 years, then decided to start my own consulting practice, which was in 1988, and I've been doing that ever since.
So, Fred, how did you find the niche of security consulting in the school space?
Well, I received a call from a local school district asking me to come over and look at a set of specifications that they had just had developed that they just weren't happy with. There seemed to be something wrong. And so I agreed to come over and look at them. And I started reading through them And I knew that the school had standardized on certain brands of equipment, and that's what they wanted to convey in the specifications. But the specifications, which were developed by an engineering company, talked about yellow-amber trouble lights, the system being approved by the authority having jurisdiction, audible devices being horns rather than bells or sirens. And I quickly discovered that the spec was a fire alarm spec, that they had used their word processor just to change the word fire over to security. And so I talked to them about developing a boilerplate that would be based around their actual equipment that they used, and they agreed, and I had a contract and did develop their boilerplate specifications for intrusion alarm systems.
How long ago was that?
That was about 15 years ago.
Since then, how many schools do you think you've, or you probably have at least an approximate amount of schools you've done?
Probably about, I'd say about 15 school districts, and then within there, they range anywhere from one to a dozen
buildings
of elementary, middle school, and high schools.
Has the approach changed over the years because of Columbine and 9/11?
Yes, and especially with lockdown, which was not heard of 15 years ago, and now it's fairly common in most schools are having lockdown drills, and more are actually incorporating electronic lockdown systems as part of their security package.
Have you seen some technologies that have really come to the forefront because of schools?
I wouldn't say that there's a particular product that's designed specifically for a school, but I think that the schools are grasping technology more and more, which is fine, but then the weakness is typically in their purchasing approach of how they get the technology, or in some cases that they might have used or bought in technology that wasn't really that useful, didn't have much of a return on their investment.
And that's important because they only have so much money allotted for these type of security projects.
That's very true, and it's implanted in a lot of their minds that if they spend extra money for a consultant, it's going to it's not going to go towards the technology. And yet, because of poor purchasing practices, a lot of times they've bought in systems that are almost useless, that have literally just sat there and not been used for years that they spent tens of thousands of dollars for.